The journalist Jamal Khashoggi was murdered in 2018. His death is one of many reminders that journalism can be dangerous work. You may think that covering war zones or repressive regimes puts reporters at greatest risk, but you'd be surprised. Between 2005 and 2016, more than 40 journalists around the world were killed while reporting on environmental stories. That's more than the number of journalists who died covering the war in Afghanistan over the same time. The source of environmental crimes they cover can often mean big money for people who are armed, dangerous, and not used to being questioned. Often the stories involve the fight for natural resources in developing countries or involve indigenous rights and land disputes. And the lines between journalism and activism can become blurred. Today we're talking to Eric Robertson, the chair of the Center for Environmental Journalism at the University of Canberra. Eric, how is it that covering stories around the environment has become such a dangerous job?
We often think of environmental stories as about wildlife and rivers or huge issues like climate change, but many of them involve huge amounts of money and political power, drilling, fracking, illegal logging, poaching. And there's a lot at stake, and journalists upset the people and the institutions and the businesses that make money from those kind of operations.
And as we know, journalists working in developing countries are in a greater danger.
That's mostly true. And journalists I've interviewed who work in Nigeria, in South Africa, in Latin America are certainly in those kind of places. But there are journalists in Canada, in the United States, and in Europe who've also been harassed, arrested, or assaulted while covering these kind of environmental issues.
Environment reporters are sometimes criticized for, as we mentioned, blurring that line from moving from objectively covering a story into the role of an activist. How do you see that?
Part of it is that journalists in the West have a professional code where they're supposed to be neutral, they're supposed to be fair, they're supposed to be balanced. Elsewhere in the world, that's not always true. And in some places, journalists don't have access to places where logging is taking place or gold mining. So it's local activists who become quasi-journalists. And for them, the two roles are inseparable.
I think it's interesting as well that you've pointed out in your writing that one of the other issues is that it is the only way these issues, controversial issues around mining or other things in developing countries, the only way they get attention is by journalists raising them. And that's what puts them in real conflict with the people who have financial interests.
It's that, and it's also the fact that many of them operate in countries where there's no press freedom at all and there's no mainstream what we would think of as democratic journalism to do the job.
These are obviously very important stories that they need to be told. So what's the remedy then?
I'm not sure that there's one remedy. Part of the remedy is training environmental journalists on safety in the same way that we are now training journalists who go into war zones and combat zones. And the second is for the international media community to support journalists who are in trouble, who are jailed, to raise money, to raise public attention, to put diplomatic pressure on their governments to release them from prison.
As you've shared your findings with other journalists, I wonder if they express surprise at this particular field being so dangerous. I have to say it surprised me. I didn't realize that. If you talk to environmental journalists, they're not surprised.
You talk to journalists who cover education or business, they say, well, if you're an environmental reporter and you're covering a natural disaster, yeah, well, there's a kind of physical danger. But they don't think of the environment beat as something that's on the front line of trouble.
Thanks for talking about it, Eric.
Thank you. Thanks for having me, Emily.